Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs, and this is the Great America Show, where truth, justice, and the American way are our ideals, our goals, and non-negotiable values. Great to have you with us, particularly so in these trying times. And nothing is as trying as this impaired puppet president of ours and his Marxist band of minions who are trying their worst to do their worst to this country and patriots everywhere. They're trying first and foremost in what I think of as Obama's third term to finish off America, our Constitution, and our way of life, and of course, you and me and our fellow patriots. It should be clear to all what the Biden administration really is and what sort of people make it up. Marxist Dems committed to destroying this country and still committed to destroying the only man I believe has the capacity, the strength, and talent and intelligence to lead the United States out of the quagmire created by the Biden White House. That man is the one who's proved he has the gravitas and judgment to lead the nation to greatness. He's Donald J. Trump. And the corrupt FBI and Justice Department fear him more than any other public figure. And therefore, they hate Trump through and through. Trump is the reason they raided his Mar-a-Lago offices. That's why Attorney General Merrick Garland needed 45 extra minutes to get his courage up enough to go out, face cameras, and make a media statement, but refuse to take questions. And it's why today the Justice Department opposed unsealing the affidavit that the Department of Justice used to get a judge's approval for a search warrant of Mar-a-Lago. It's all raw abuse of government power against not only President Trump, but the American people and our Constitution. This simply cannot stand. Our guest today has uncommon knowledge of the Marxist Dems and the deep state and their capacity for evil. With us today is General Michael Flynn, former National Security Advisor to President Trump, former Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. General, it's great to have you with us, and let's start with the Mar-a-Lago raid, another Marxist Dem deep state atrocity against President Trump and our Constitution, in the sixth year of their political persecution of Donald Trump.
Hey, Lou, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on. I think, I really, really appreciate you, your audience. I appreciate everything that you have done for this country to be unapologetic. I like the word unapologetic. You're an unapologetic guy when it comes to standing up for our country. And so what we are facing in this country right now is we're facing a complete breakdown of the rule of law and the institutions of the rule of law in our country. And it starts really with the Department of Justice. And I joke about it sometimes. I call it the Department of Just Us. And some people call it the Department of Injustice. But everything that we learned about the attack against President Trump, his family, me, my family, and when it came to the Russia hoax, was outrageous enough. I mean, that the things that we have learned, the lies, the deception, and the criminal behavior of people at the highest levels of our government when it came to the Russia hoax, we thought was enough. And we still want people held accountable. And then we went into the impeachments, right? We went into two impeachments of the president of the United States of America. And they couldn't find not even a speeding ticket when it came to Donald Trump. And then, of course, all of the personal things that him and his family are going through. I know that, recently in New York, he had to go up there because of the New York Attorney General was basically bringing his company up on all kinds of charges, and they could find nothing. And Trump, for the first time, he put out the other day about taking the fifth, which I've done. I've had to take the fifth. The fifth is a right that we have. It's not because you're guilty or innocent. It's a right that you have. So you cannot be incriminated by a bunch of thugs in our justice system, nor the thugs that are in our legislative side of the system, which is in the unselect committee, you know, where I had to take the fifth there. So we have this constant political persecution. And now we have this raid on the home. So it's Mar-a-Lago. People know what it is. It's a beautiful place. It's, you know, it's a bit of a resort, but it's really the home. See, it's the home of the president of the United States of America. And they raided his home, and God knows why or what for, because they really haven't told us the real truth. I mean, we've seen the warrant, and the warrant is so broad. And, you know, the media, Lou, as you know, and actually even the statement from the Attorney General Garland made it sound like this was a really, you know, this was a dramatic thing that we're having to do. But yet we find out that the warrant was issued on a Friday, and the FBI didn't go and execute it until the following Monday. So if we had problems with really sensitive classified information, things about nuclear systems that we have. And so if we had that kind of dramatic, sensitive intelligence that was secured by President Trump or his team from the White House 18 months ago, then why wait another 3 or 4 days to go get it? I mean, so it just doesn't make sense. None of it made sense immediately, Lou. And the American people are done being fooled. So the American people are now digging, and they're looking, and they're asking a different set of questions. And I'm telling you, having been not only doing, talking to various media outlets for the last week, but also talking to the American people. And we just spent another weekend with thousands and thousands of Americans in upstate New York. And they came from damn near all 50 states to our event. And I spent a lot of time out in the audience and out in the back and just talking to different people, hundreds of people. And people are just upset because they're not going to be fooled anymore. They all they want is to be told the truth, number one. And number two, Lou, is they want accountability of these other things that I talked about. So we have not had accountability of, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop, you know, drama. We have not had accountability of all of the people that were involved in the Russiagate, right? In the Russian hoax, starting with people in the former White House prior to Trump. And people like at the national level, national intelligence director, the CIA director, people in the FBI, the FBI director, the deputy FBI director, you know, the lovers of Strzok and Page, right? I'll name those two. I mean, all these people that have yet to be held accountable, and we're still going after, you know, the justice system, the just us system is still going after President Donald J. Trump. And they had the audacity, Lou, the audacity, it's totally unprecedented. Never in the history of our country, they went in and they assaulted his home. They raided his home. They had the egregiousness, the incredible lack of protocol. And they are rummaging around in his wife's closets, his wife's bureau. I mean, so here's what I said the other day, Lou. And I said this the day before the attorney general came out and took responsibility for authorizing this raid. Okay. So I was asked, what level would this have to be approved? And I immediately said, the attorney general of the United States of America would have to approve this. And I said that there's no doubt in my mind that somebody in the White House was aware of this. Now, and I sort of tongue in cheek said, you know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they probably, if they were told, they wouldn't know the difference. I mean, you could tell them and they wouldn't even understand what's going on. And so I'm not sure what they really understand is going on in the country, because every time I hear, particularly President Biden, right, every time I hear him, I'm like, the guy like babbles when he talks, right? And it's sad for this country. So I'm not really sure if this did go to the president or if they did take it to him. But I can guarantee you, and there's no way in the world that for me, as a guy who ran one of the largest intelligence agencies in the world, was the most senior military intelligence officer for the United States military, was the national security advisor to our country, was a assistant director of national intelligence for this country. There's no way in the world that the White House was not aware of this raid, which has never happened in the history of our country. No president has ever had their home raided like the FBI did with 30 agents as though he's this hardened terrorist criminal. I mean, this is insane. And so so what do we do about it, Lou? Because I don't want to, you know, I'm going on and on, but I think that the American people are sick of it, and they're so tired and they're like, you know, we have got to fix these problems that we have. And our first place that we have to fix is our rule of law institutions, because they're out of control. They are totally out of control. So what does that mean to fix them? Well, you know, the FBI and the Attorney General, who I said 24 hours prior to him coming out and approving it, I said, I guarantee the Attorney General approved it. The next day, he had to come out on a press conference and say, yep, I approved it. I don't know whether it was because he was hearing that from guys like me, but I know he was hearing it from everybody, and he knew that they screwed this up. The backlash against the White House, the backlash against the Department of Justice, against the FBI is horrible. And I don't want it to be like that, Lou. You know me, and we've talked about this many other times. We don't want our government to be like this. We want our government to be respected. We want our rule of law to be respected. I want the FBI to be respected. I want the Department of Justice to be respected. But right now they're not. And they're not because of their own behavior, because of their own actions. And I'm a guy that can talk, you know, rhyme and verse and in great detail about the corruption that I face and my family face. And frankly, I do call their actions un-American. And in the case of Donald Trump, President Trump, who you know well, Lou, I mean, I totally support, you know, his actions and his responses to this and the kinds of things that he was doing. I mean, everything that we've learned from this, here, President Trump and his team have been cooperating and talking to these guys like they're buddy buddies. This happens after every administration when it comes to archiving of information and archiving of, you know, of data and the kinds of things that a president needs to take. I mean, you know, we don't want to get into the Clintons. I mean, they took the China and the silverware from the. I mean, it's seriously, you know, and not jokingly. I mean, so, you know, and when we talk about classified, the president of the United States, and I think that this is important for your audience. So when a president departs for the final time, you know, after, you know, let's say, you know, after his term or his second term, they are given a budget, a good budget. And at one time it was about $4 million a year, but it's a good budget. It's a government approved budget. The taxpayers have approved it through our own system of government. And it is ordered for the president, the former president of the United States, to have a staff akin to, and it's not as big, obviously, but to have a staff while he is the former president. Because at times, the former presidents of our United States of America have been called upon to go and do things to advance American interests around the world or to advance an American interest right here at home. Maybe former presidents get involved in education. Maybe former presidents get involved in drug abuse. Maybe former presidents get involved in dealing with with foreign partners and foreign adversaries because of relationships that they've had. And we've done that. We've done that with former presidents for a long time. So Donald Trump has a staff. That, and it also includes in his home the ability to have a SCIF, a secure compartmented facility to be able to protect classified information. He's got a staff to have a chief of staff. He's got a staff to have a national security advisor. He's got all these little, you know, components of a legitimate staff for a functioning former president of the United States. That's why he still has Secret Service, right? So he still has Secret Service. So there's all these little aspects of what we expect our former presidents to be able to do to help advance the United States of America. And here we have the administration of Biden, the Biden administration, they are doing everything to damage not just President Donald J. Trump. They're doing everything to damage what it is that we have as a democracy, as a form of our Republican form of government, our Republic form of government. I mean, I have had, and I have friends all over the world, Lou, that are, you know, very serious people in politics or in certainly in the military. And the amount of people that have sent me messages from around the world that are just ashamed of what has happened in America. And they're asking me questions like, you know, Flynn, what is going on there? What's happening to the United States of America? Is the U.S. collapsing? Is the U.S. falling apart? Can we continue to count on the United States of America to be this beacon, to be this, you know, true North Star, to be this, you know, shining city on the hill? And I have a very difficult time answering that question today, Lou. I'm beyond disappointed. I feel ashamed at times because of how our nation is beginning to look, but it's principally because of the actions by this White House and the actions by this by the current government that we have in Washington, D.C. And they seem to be attacking everything from moms who are standing up for their children. They've made, you know, moms political enemies over real criminals. The crazy, crazy spending spree by the Congress for this 87,000 IRS agents, the 40-year high inflation, the record level of illegals coming into our country, the amount of fentanyl. I mean, Lou, I read a stat the other day. We're at 100,000 deaths caused by fentanyl this year alone. You know, the fact that we are dependent on foreign countries for our energy. I mean, how insane is that? And then we have, of course, China, the crisis going on over the Taiwan Straits right now. We gave $50 billion with a B dollars to Ukraine. And we've seen the latest couple of weeks here, we've seen some media reporting where like very little of that money is actually going to where it needs to be in Ukraine. Because why? Because Ukraine is rated as one of the most corrupt countries on the planet by our own State Department. We had the debacle in Afghanistan, which happened about a year ago, Lou, right? A year ago. We had the surrender to the Taliban. We surrendered to the Taliban, and then we escaped, right? We escaped out of there, but we left thousands of Americans behind enemy lines. We are dealing with Iran, who, you know, in the news lately, Iran has been just horrific, and particularly, you know, in some of their actions against Israel and some of their statements by some of their leaders. But yet we have a negotiation ongoing in I think it's in Geneva right now, for Iran to have nuclear weapons. And guess who's at the table, Lou? Guess who's at the table? Russia. Russia is at the table, and they are one of the key negotiators between Iran and the United States of America for Iran to have nuclear weapons. Yet we're putting sanctions against Russia. We're doing all these things over in Ukraine against Russia. I mean, it's absurd. It's an upside down world. It's I think it was the Seinfeld show years ago, had the bizarro world, right? So all of these things, and there's many, many more. There's many more. I mean, I still talk about the election integrity issues that we're having. Everything. We have supply chain crisis. We have labor shortages. We have, you know, the massive, massive drug smuggling that's going on in this country. And I mentioned fentanyl. We have this, you know, this hysterical January 6th unselect committee, which is only allowing one side of the argument. And frankly, I think, so here's my hypothesis, Lou, if you don't mind me, because I know I'm going on.
Not at all.
My hypothesis of the Mar-a-Lago raid is that the January 6th unselect committee found nothing. They knew that their narrative was totally collapsing. Nobody even cared about it. It's one of the least, you know, concerning things of Americans right now, because it's just such a farce. It's such a joke that, and I'm under subpoena for this committee. I pled the fifth to this committee. And I did it because I know the type of people that we're up against in our entire justice system. So I actually think that they found nothing. They realized that the whole thing was collapsing. The narrative of January 6th was collapsing. And so they needed something else. They needed another distraction. And so vis-a-vis the Mar-a-Lago raid, right? And so that this particular one was done in such an egregious, and I use that word, but I use it, very seriously, in such an egregious way. The behavior of the FBI at the president of the United States' home, in Palm Beach, Florida, there at Mar-a-Lago, and the way that they took a very broad warrant, because the warrant is very broad. It's like, you can go look anywhere. They took a very broad warrant, yeah, and they took advantage of it, and they didn't allow the lawyers to be part of it. They didn't even want to show the lawyers the warrant. I mean, this is crazy. This is a third world. This is third world behavior in what really should be, the best country, the shining light for the rest of the world. Instead, we have the international community now looking at the United States of America and wondering if, are we still going to be that beacon of hope, that true North Star? And I'm really concerned about that, Lou. And so how do we get back there? And, my big thing has been going around the country, getting people to run for school board, to run for county commissioner, to, get up at the local level. I use the phrase local action equals a national impact. So if people stand up, step up, speak up in their counties and get involved like they've never been involved in, fix the voter registration systems, fix voter integrity, get involved, volunteer, get involved, be fearless. Don't worry about the media in your local area that's going to come after you, because they do. Just be fearless but get involved. Not everybody can be, I call it, not everybody can be a Washington, D.C. superstar, and everybody has to be a Joan of Arc. We have to sort of get people, we have to, awaken people. And that's why we have this Reawaken America tour that we do run. And I have been involved in. And the last thing I'd say before I throw it back to you, Luda, see if you have any other issues you want to discuss, is I say that the destiny of our country, Lou, really the destiny of America, the future of America for my children and my grandchildren, is going to be determined by every single American citizen. It's not going to be determined by Washington, D.C. It's not going to be determined by the politicians that we have. And the determination of that destiny is based on which path each of us chooses to walk upon, when we start to think about what more can I do as an American citizen. And that's my bigger message, is for people to get out there and decide to get involved. And, and I tell you, I know your audience. I believe I know the type of audience you have. You have a very, very broad audience. And I think that people are looking for truth, and they need to know. Most people out there that are listening at it in their homes or listening at it, on a drive or something like that, trust me, folks, you're not alone. All the things that I've been talking about, all of us feel the same way. All of us feel this anxiety. We have this like angst in our country, saying to ourselves, Jesus, how do we ever get here, Lou? And we got here because, frankly, we've got a little bit apathetic in our sort of political discourse. And we allowed people, politicians primarily, to sort of continue on and take, get back into office. And every time they get back into office, they do worse damage to us. So now's the time. I'm sorry, Lou, go ahead.
Yeah, let me just pose an answer to part of what you're asking. Where did it start? I think it started with the Patriot Act after September 11th. I think it started with a number of agencies, intelligence agencies, law enforcement agencies, the creation of the Homeland Security Department. And suddenly we started moving toward a surveillance state. And with that, the Dems saw an opportunity where the Republicans, frankly, did the typical thing. They were expedient. They stepped back, and they let the Dems have their way. After the Bush administration, we're watching this extraordinary 8 years of Barack Obama. in which he organized and weaponized the intelligence agencies. And no one, I mean, I'll be glad to debate this with anyone.
Yeah, I would too.
It's just straightforward fact. And now that we had a Donald Trump shock to the system of the Marxist Dems and the deep state from which they could not recover. And they knew that it was existential for Trump if they were to permit him to go another 4 years, it would have been disaster. We're watching in Mar-a-Lago after all of the nonsense. This is a look at Bruce Reinhardt, the magistrate that the FBI selected at the Department of Justice, a magistrate, not even a full Article III judge.
Exactly.
In order to get a search warrant instead of serve a subpoena, in order to be as disruptive and hostile as they possibly could be against a president of the United States, who had, by the way, Reinhardt had recused himself 20 days previous to the raid because he had been selected to be the judge in the Donald Trump lawsuit against Hillary Clinton for the Crossfire Hurricane conspiracy that led to the Russia hoax, that led to the special counsel, and was carried throughout the Trump administration in the form of a special counsel, in the form of two impeachments, and then January 6th and all that has followed. I truly believe that that is where it started.
Yeah.
And we have been damn fools to let it go. Our Congress, our Senate, gave up their oversight responsibilities in the quote-unquote national interest, in national security interest as well. That's where it is. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I appreciate your laying that out, and I think that that is so spot on. So let me bring a couple of, I guess, highlights to this. And I'd start with Dwight D. Eisenhower when he was president of the United States of America in the last month of his one of his very, very famous last speeches. He warned us about the military industrial complex.
Right.
Okay. And I think, and I, you know, tell your audience, you know, it's this very short speech. It's a great speech. I think it's only like 10 minutes, you know, I encourage people to go listen to it because you can find it online. And he talks about the military industrial complex and really he warns us. It's a warning. So here I am sitting here, and what you just described, when we talk about the weaponization of aspects of our federal government, and especially the weaponization of the intelligence community by Barack Obama, I now call this a security state. So my warning to America is that we have entered sort of a new phase of the takeover of our country, and the military industrial complex, while it still exists, it is actually a subordinate to what I call the security state. And the security state is this rise of the federal government since the Patriot Act, as you mentioned earlier there. So I can tell you that the size of the federal government on the 10th of September of 2001 grew by times, at least by times five, in the 10 years that I, the following 10 years, 11 years that I continued to serve in the government. I did an examination when I went into the Defense Intelligence Agency of the size of the federal government, partly because I wanted to know how we stacked up, how the DIA, the intel agency, stacked up to other organizations, and how much change had taken place, because I was really trying to affect the culture of an organization, a large organization, almost 20,000 people, right? And I looked at the size of the government, and what I learned was that from the Patriot Act, and it really does start with that as one of the elements, one of the conditions that was created post 9/11 and the attack on our country, the government started to become really much larger. And I say, like, you know, it's like times five. We have a gigantic federal government that needs to be completely and wholly reformed. But we also saw the rise of the security state, meaning the rise of federal programs and federal organizations and federal law enforcement organizations For example, the Department of Homeland Security, right? That didn't exist. We did prior to 9/11 and prior to the Patriot Act. The elements of it did. Transportation Security Administration, TSA, that we see at all of our airports, that didn't exist prior to 9/11. It existed. It was a cause and effect issue, right? So the TSA, to give you an example, TSA is about 70,000 people. It's about 70,000 people. And you know, everybody has their issues with TSA, but it's all part of this security state. So now when you take it to today and you look at the security state apparatus and who is leading it, right? What organizations are the principal drivers behind it? It is clearly elements of our intelligence community. Definitely the sort of the top organizations, the National Security Agency, Central Intelligence Agency, you know, Defense Intelligence, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Those are security state elements. Within that realm, though, is the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which is not only an intelligence arm of the security state, it is also a law enforcement arm, and it is tucked underneath by sort of line and block chart. It's tucked underneath the Department of Justice and the Attorney General. I mean, these are things that most Americans, and frankly, most people that come into government to serve in the White House, they don't even understand half of what I'm talking about. They still don't understand. Even people that have served for 4 years in an administration don't understand what I just said. The security state of our country has grown so out of control. And when you have a president for 8 years, and now I'm talking about the Obama administration, when you have a president for 8 years that brings in people and allows the structure and the organization and the behavior and the, I would call it the culturalization, right? That's changing the culture of a organization like the Department of Justice, like the FBI, where the enemies are not criminals and the enemies are not our overseas adversaries. The enemies are actually the citizens of our country. And they make those of us who are political, you know, politically inclined, like if I'm a conservative and I'm on, you know, Trump's team, then I become the enemy and they go after me. I mean, look, Lou, at the people that are around, you know, as you said, and you're right, Trump came in 2016 and it wasn't a fluke. It was because the American people were sick of what we had been up against and frankly, 8 years of an assault on our freedoms. And the way the economy was going, and Trump promised a bunch of things, and he met all of his promises, and he was terrific at it. And they when he beat the heir apparent in Hillary Clinton, it was like, oh my God, we can't have this guy, we can't have a person like this come in, and frankly, do two things: one, fix the country and make it better, and number two, find out how much corruption and how much criminal activity we were actually doing. That's why they went after me so quickly in a really radical way. That I can tell you that, you know, and go viciously into verse on that.
Just think about what is contained in the new bill that was signed, the Inflation Reduction Act, as the Orwellian Biden,
right,
Marxist dim right, White House styled it. What was in there is, and I think this is the most telling of all the elements in it, 87,000 new Internal Revenue Service agents, $80 billion alone to more than double the number of agents, 87,000.
Yeah.
And those agents, the first thing they put up is an ad. And the first elements within that, and it's the only time I've ever seen it in my life, whether it's the military, whether it is the Texas Rangers, you name it, you have to have expertise with a handgun and the will to exercise deadly force. I mean, have you ever seen a condition put on a Marine or a soldier? I haven't.
Yeah, no, I never have. And, you know, and I will tell you, and, you know, and for your audience, we should not be surprised, Lou. We should not be surprised that this administration, all of the actions that it is taking, do not be surprised. And I said this publicly the other day to a large audience, just 2 days ago. I said, look, this Mar-a-Lago thing, it is just another distraction, because what they do, they're masters at this. It's another distraction. It's another means of further dividing this country. And so I guarantee, and this 87,000 IRS agents is part of this. They will come up with another distraction between now and the next time we talk, Lou, you know, that to cause us to not focus on the real problems that they know they have, which is things like election integrity, right? Things like this massive illegal invasion, the problems with inflation, the problems with drugs on the streets, the levels of crime. I mean, we are in really tough shape right now. And to throw on top of that, hey, we're going to, and to make it sound like, oh yeah, the 87,000 IRS agents is a good thing. No, they will not. They, you know, this business about they're only going to go after people that earn over 400,000 is bullshit. Excuse my Irish. I mean, it is total bull. These are people that are going to be out there, and they're going to come after you, you know, listener. They're going to come after, you know, the American citizen. The majority of audits already being done, Lou, the majority of audits already being done, better than 50% of the audience being done, audits being done in this country right now are after the middle income and lower middle income citizens of this country. So for this administration to blatantly try to make us believe that 87,000 IRS agents is good for us. It's like when somebody, you know, when you're in the military, you're in the government, and the inspector general shows up and they tell you that they're here to help. No, they're not. They're not there to help. These people are not going to be there to help. They're going to be there to basically be another member of what I call this security state complex, to basically cause this country to move more closely and align itself more closely with a socialist communist system of, you know, ideological system. I don't know why else we are moving in this direction other than they're changing. This is not about Republicans and Democrats anymore. This is about people who love this country. And I don't care what walk of life they come from. But if you love this country, we are losing our freedoms rapidly, much faster than I think anybody really thought could ever happen. And we are moving into an ideological realm, if you will, that is more aligned with communism and socialism. That's the only way I can say it. We haven't talked too much about China in this broadcast, but China has infiltrated this country, Lou. They've infiltrated into our businesses. They've infiltrated into our education system. They've infiltrated into our government, and that's a real thing, and that's a real threat. And we know that there's people in the White House. I mean, just look at Hunter Biden and the relationships that he has, business relationships that he has with one of the guys was the leader of the Chinese Communist Party intelligence apparatus.
You know, it's Hunter Biden has been under investigation for 4 years, but just talk about the CCP in China. Your experience as leader of one of the most important intelligence agencies. We go back to 1993. In 1993, a snapshot in time, right? It is the first year of the Clinton administration, and identified in the United States were 3,500 front companies for the CCP, the People's Liberation Army, Communist China. And we knew that they were infiltrating. Now we come back here 30 years into the future. It's the present. And guess what? They've dismantled all of the task forces that were supposed to be taking on these front companies, because no one did a thing in the previous 25 years.
Right. Ridiculous. That means, Lou, it's
what do these intelligence agencies do, Mike?
Yeah, no, they screwed. I'm going to tell you, they have. Believe me. They've screwed up. This is a grave, grave national security threat to the United States of America. And I appreciate you bringing up, taking us back to 1993, because you're right. This is 2022. So this is decades. This is a generation later. And so you have to say to yourself, so if it was that bad then, how bad is it now?
Right.
And we can complain all day about, you know, the what the intelligence agencies should be doing. And I know what they should be doing. And believe me, you know, in the 2 years that I was at the Defense Intelligence Agency, I am privy to a lot of intelligence. And then, of course, going in to become the national security advisor to the president of the United States, privy to a lot of intelligence. What I would say, not hypothetical, this is not hypothetical for your audience. What I would say is the level of infiltration by the People's Liberation Army, by the communist Chinese, you know, by the communist government of China, you know, by the CCP into every single aspect of Americana is very, very real. And so it grew rapidly under administrations that enabled it and allowed it, because they really were not, you know, when you think about it, when you look at what kinds of actions and what kinds of decisions were made, they were not necessarily decisions. And I'm not talking about the Clinton administration. I'm talking about the Obama administration that didn't advance America's interests around the world. What they were doing is they were allowing China to gain even more of a foothold inside of the United States of America. And that's a very, very strong statement from a guy like me who's been at the top levels of our intelligence community and inside of the White House and has knowledge, deep knowledge of China. And I've been saying this for a long time, Lou, about China. And I've talked a lot about just the amount of students that the Chinese have been sending to our country for the better part of two decades, really three, but we're talking about upwards of 500,000 students a year, you know, and the average is probably 300,000 students a year going back 20 years coming into our country. And so what are they doing? And they're young people. And so what are they doing? Are they working to spy? Are they working to get inside of our systems? Are they working to get an education and go back home and use the great education system that we have at the college and our graduate and undergraduate level, which we still do to a degree? Are they learning engineering? Are they learning math? Are they in our labs? Are they in our medical facilities? Yes. The answer is yes. They are in every aspect of what we do. I mean, I just listened to a piece the other day about, and I've been following this very closely, about the amount of real estate that the Chinese government is buying in the United States of America. For any foreign government to purchase real estate in this country, it takes approval by the State Department. So why is it that our State Department is allowing members of the Chinese military to purchase large plots of property, good property, some of the best property in our country, right? Buying land right next to military bases. It's insane. So, you know, if it sounds like my hair is on fire, and for those people that meet me around the country, and many do, for those that listen and hear me speak in other places, my hair is on fire, and I'm not a boy crying, you know, wolf, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a, you know, it's, I mean, it, this is, this is very, very serious. And, you know, I'm a guy that could have gotten out of the military after a great career, very, very, you know, an excellent career. I could have gotten out of the military and gone and gotten myself on some boards and some, you know, and done all kinds of things, you know, and had a nice cushy life and gone and played some golf and took a take nice vacation, all that crap, right? But I didn't. I didn't, right? I got involved in politics and I met a guy named Donald J. Trump, and I believed in what he believed in. And he and I saw eye to eye on the future of America and how difficult it was going to be for us to maintain the America that we both grew up in. And because it was being damaged by stupid people and people that actually were, I would call them un-American. And he won. So, you know, once he wins, then all of a sudden, we become the enemy of the state, right? The bureaucratic state, the deep state, as we call it. I call it the security state. And they're continuing to do this. They're continuing to damage our country. And when I think about the people that are inside of our government, because I know that there are a few people, there's a few good people in there that care, but they are all fearful of what might happen to them if they speak up. If they become, you know, quote unquote whistleblowers, or if they go and they quit and they come out and they start talking about what they saw. People are afraid of our own goddamn government, Lou. We cannot have that in the United States of America. We cannot live like this. We cannot have a FBI and a justice system that is attacking, assaulting the very fabric of our country, which is the regular American citizen who's in fear. They're afraid that the FBI is going to come knock on their door because they attended a relatively peaceful demonstration in Washington, D.C. that, you know, I think I'll talk to the January 6th unselect thing again. And what happened on January 6th? I think if we find out the truth and we get all the evidence, we get all the videos, we get all the narratives and true evidence is going to be seen, that we're going to find that there was some planning of what happened on January 6th. And I'm not talking about planning. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll predict one thing on that. I think you're going to see the January 6th committee dissolve in the middle of the night, go away, bury all of the video, bury all of the documents they've got, so that no one can ever see it, because it is a travesty carried out against the American people. Hundreds of Americans charged, punished. It is an abuse of government like we have never seen.
We've never
before.
Seen. And, you know, here's my last point to you, and I'll you know, get off my soapbox. I pray that we win in November. I pray that we win the House and we win the Senate. I pray that we win some really critical governor positions. I pray that we win some state legislatures in some really critical states. I pray that we win, and I pray that we have a free and fair election. I am not inclined to say that, you know, I'm going to be naive and think that it's going to be, you know, nice and clean, because it's not. It's going to be really ugly, and there's going to be all kinds of cheating going on in our election, because we're seeing it in our damn primaries. But that's what I pray for. And if that happens, if we're lucky enough, let's just say we just win the House of Representatives, what that's going to do, it's not going to solve our problems, though. It's going to give America a little bit of breathing room. And let's see what our Republican legislatures do if they do get in charge. Let's see if they actually stand up and go after these people and hold to account the people that are actually doing the most severe damage to our country, which are many of the different people and institutions that we have been talking about. That's what we have to find out. And frankly, is there a real investigation of Hunter Biden's laptop and what we've learned from that? Because it's not just some son of a president who's got a drug problem. This is a grave threat to our national security because of the business endeavors and the business relationships that we know of that he had in Ukraine, that Hunter had in China, and the business partners that he had, as well as the big guy, right? We don't want to forget the big guy. So that's what I pray for, Lou. I pray that we are able to have that happen. And then, of course, then it gives us breathing room to get us to 2024. And maybe, you know, maybe I'd love Donald Trump to announce today. You know, I think he needs to announce sooner than later. But people tell me, you know, it's different reasons why he shouldn't do it. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different reasons. But I would rather he do it sooner. What it would do to me, and this is my take on it, it would absolutely galvanize the American people even more than they already are ready to stand up and truly fight in the political battles that we're going to have in the coming months to get to November 2022, and then to get to November 2024. It would galvanize the American people like we've never seen in this country. And I think that there is probably 10, 20, maybe 30 to 40 million people left of that center line, right, that are over there in the Democratic Party that never thought that they'd lose our country to communism and don't like the idea of living in a communist country, because that's what's going to happen, folks, if we don't get through these elections in November, frankly, this November. If it's an unfair election, like I believe the 2020 election was unfair and done, you know, corruptly, then we could actually find ourselves very rapidly moving towards communism much quicker. And I'm afraid of that. That does concern me, and because I can see it. I've seen it in other countries. We've seen it in places like Venezuela. Venezuela is one of the more recent examples. And people in this country think of Venezuela as some, you know, s-hole, but it was really one of the top 10 economies in the world back in the 80s. And it was pretty well aligned to the United States of America as a has a place where they had free and fair elections. And then all of a sudden, now in Venezuela, it's become a criminal enterprise. And you can't even, you know, those people that are living there, you can't even get a roll of toilet paper, right? I mean, you can't buy food. And it was one of the top 10 economies in the world not that long ago in my lifetime, in my military career. So that's how fast something can happen in this country. And don't think that it can't, folks. And so that's why I say we've got to get involved. I would love to see Donald J. Trump, President Trump. I'd love to see him step up there and say, you know what, I'm running, but I understand the advantages and disadvantages of that. And some of it has to do with the FEC, the Federal Elections Commissions, and monies and all that kind of stuff. But we can't make it about that. We need to make this about our country and what's best for our country. And right now, what's best for our country is we have to have leaders around the country that have never been involved in politics step up and get involved. And we have to have the American people go vote. I mean, my God, we are still only at about 30% of people that can vote, that are registered to vote in this country for the primaries. We're only hovering around 30% right now in the primaries across the country. You know, I'm told that we should only expect a 60% turnout in November. We can't have that, folks. We got to have everybody. Everybody's got to show up to the game. And it's not just go to the bleachers. I want people on the field. I want people on the field. I want everybody on the field. And you get on the field by going and voting. That's how you play. That's how we play in this country called the United States of America. And that's how each of us participates. And so that's what I want.
Well, I think that what you want is what is best for America. And I think that that is a big part of the list that we need to get this country going again. General Flynn, always great to talk with you. I hope you'll come back soon. The next time we'll talk about the intelligence agencies, including the FBI and the Department of Justice. We'll also take up the Homeland Security Department and how an agency that was a department was created in the wake of September 11th to coordinate law enforcement agencies, intelligence agencies, and support first responders at the local level suddenly has its own intelligence agency, has its own police forces in various forms, and you talked about several of them, but especially the TSA. And it's a fascinating issue and critical to all that we are talking about. General Michael Flynn, a great patriot, a great American. God bless you.
God bless, Lou. Thank you. And thank you to your really great audience. God bless.
Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Here tomorrow, John McLaughlin, leading GOP pollster and strategist on the political turmoil and conflicts boiling over in America. Please join us here tomorrow on the Great America Show. Till then, God bless you and God bless America.